Welcome back to Success Made to Last. I'm Rick Tokini. This is our entertainer series. Our special guest today is Corbin Burnson. He stars in USA Network's Psych. He was nominated for 2 Emmys for his role in L.A. Law. Corbin, we actually have a wonderful mutual friend in Ted Baer, and I had the privilege of meeting you at a Movie Guide Award ceremony. It's great to have you on today.
Well, it's great. Thank you. I was actually just with Dr. Baer yesterday.
Well, we love Ted and his wife, Lily, as well.
He is a wonderful guy, and he's always inspirational to me and, you know, makes me question things and you know, look forward and understand things. So he's a wonderful, wonderful friend in my journey of faith, I call it.
That is great. I want to explore something with you called your book that you've written called Rust. But first, we'd love to hear a few life lessons. Let's start with the greatest life lesson that you've learned from your 27-plus years of marriage to Amanda Pete.
The life lesson is that, you know, and it's a lesson of Jesus, quite frankly, it's love. You know, love and all forms of love. Love is the answer. You know, the Beatles actually said it a while ago, I think, as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no, it's this one universal thing. And it's funny, I have sermons in my car in the morning that actually as if I were a preacher getting up and saying, and in the last few days with so much turmoil in the world and the, you know, what we've been watching with the debates and all that kind of stuff, I just keep thinking that no matter who we are, good, bad, right, wrong, left, right, conservative, liberal, there's the universal thing that is God is love. And I'm actually looking at a poster in my office here of one of my favorite plays, Oliver, from Oliver Twist, and sitting in the orphanage with food, and a big sign above it says, God is love. And that's the life lesson from with my wife is it's a physical representation of a much larger faithful thought about love, and that is the life lesson. Love is enduring. Love is kind. Love will get you through. You know, that's really love is the answer.
Man, I appreciate that. Let's now talk about lessons from Dad. What would you say your son would say is the greatest life lesson that you have taught them?
I think compassion, understanding. And again, I have to go back to love, but I don't want to be repetitive. But compassion and understanding, you know, their kids growing up in this day and time, and they make their mistakes left and right, and I suppose the way I discipline is done with compassion, and they understand it's never about anger, it's never about hate, it's never about force, it's about compassion that I have for them to make sure that when they, you know, I'm not around, whether literally not around these days, you know, at home, or I'm gone and I'm passed on, that they have the proper tools to get through life. So I hope they see me as compassionate and not as angry or, you know, in my discipline. I hope they see me as compassionate. And I think that would be a great thing that they understand in retrospect how I raised them.
Well, you bet. Wouldn't that be a great tribute to any dad listening today?
Yeah, I think so. I think you just want to look back and think, you know, I look back at my own dad, and there were a lot of mistakes. There were a lot of, you know, things he did that were not good, that weren't righteous. But he was, in an odd way, he was there. He was there, even though he physically wasn't there, which was a big accusation my mother had against him, you know, physically not being there. But there was something about his heart was there, and even though he wasn't able to get that across, he wasn't able to verbalize, he wasn't able to show it physically, he was there. And I, you know, I will always remember that.
That's really a nice transition over to what you have accomplished in your own life. What's your view on your book, Rust, and the movie Rust, and how it reflects your own life?
Well, what's interesting is that you have to understand a little bit of background on the book. I and the film that preceded it, Rust. I came upon this small town up in Canada, and through powers greater than I and you know, resources to the world, you know, I wrote a film to shoot in this small town, and they funded this movie, and the movie turned out to be this film, Rust. And little did I know, I just thought I was writing a story about a preacher who had lost his way. And next thing, you know, I had Sony Pictures saying, "We didn't know you were a Christian filmmaker." And I went, "Oh, yeah, that's me." And I didn't know where I was. It was the beginning of a journey, this movie. So whatever the book is and the novel, which is a fun, you know, an interesting story, and it's a story of discovery, it's a reaffirmation of faith story, it to some degree for me, and I, by the way, I wasn't, you know, going from zero, you know, atheist to Christian. I had my own notions of Jesus and faith, but I'd never really thought on them. I never really practiced it, if you will. I'd never put it into my daily life. And this film was the beginning of putting, you know, Jesus into my daily life. And I didn't know it at the time, you know. God was operating well outside of my consciousness, I suppose, and directing me in a path. And one, the beginning of the path was making the film, all the way through to, I'll tell you very honestly, I've made five or six faith-based movies since, and I've had some doubts, and I'm going, do I believe everything I'm saying now? Do I believe, you know? And writing the book returned me back to going back to the root, if you will, and saying, no, I do. I know what I believe. I know the path I'm on. And so the book is really, book is a reaffirmation of what the movie and the story of Rust started for me.
Well, thanks for that. As a fellow author, when you write a really good story, it just makes a big difference. Can you give a word of advice to our young writers that are listening to this show today?
Well, I would say whatever I'm about to say would apply to your relationship with God and your reaffirmations and all those things. But when you write something, a book, a movie, a play, a love note to your sweetheart, you know, a thank you note for, you know, somebody who did something kind, the more pure you are in what you feel and true, rather than what's supposed to be said at that time. Thank you for the lovely evening. The wine you served was just terrific. I mean, all the things you think you're supposed to say, and you, as opposed to saying, you know, thank you for the lovely evening. It was really wonderful. I felt so down for a week before that. I'd lost a dear friend, and having dinner with you made me feel better. That's at least genuine, you know. It's a genuine thing, rather than the by rote, happy birthday, cousin, you know. I mean, that doesn't, I'm not a big fan of greeting cards, to be honest with you, because they tend to sort of put these thoughts you're supposed to say, you know, at a time. Sorry for your loss. I mean, every card about condolences, sorry for your loss. What does that even, I don't even know what that means. Say what you really feel. You know, my heart aches for you. You know, the more truthful you are in your writing, and less sort of greeting card, obligatory dialogue, you get to the truth. And when I wrote Rust, I didn't have an agenda. And I'll tell you, in subsequent films where I was exploring faith, I knew there was a Christian audience, and I found myself writing to the audience rather than writing, in some cases, rather than in writing from a place of truth. Dr. Ted Baer, who you mentioned at the beginning, I met him because of Rust. He thought, and I you know, you'd have to ask him, but he thought it was a wonderful film that had so many relationships with the Bible and with faith and with Christ. I didn't know I was writing that. I was just writing a truthful movie. You know, he said, well, in the Bible, you know, Jesus is this. And Jesus, and I, wow, I didn't know that. But because I was being pure and true of heart, those things that they related in a way that you know, was understandable to him. And I think he's still amazed that I didn't had no idea what I was doing when I wrote it.
It's because you're writing from a purest, untainted perspective. And that's where great young writers can start. You need to be pure and curious as if you're a child.
There is nothing, like for all of us who've had kids, there is nothing that matches the wonderment in the child's eyes, the curiosity. There's such truth in that. You know, I don't know, on my internet, when I go to, some of these home pages, they say, look at the worst people in history as a child. They have photographs, and you see, I'm not going to name names, but there's terrible, and I look at them, I see their childlike, I'm curious about all that stuff. So, you know, I'll use one, you know, Hitler as a child, Charles Manson as a child. You look at the picture and you go, that was just a young, curious person. You know, I don't know what happened from that point on. But I'm amazed at the curiosity. I think as children, we're just unbelievably pure and curious. And unfortunately, you know, I suppose our curiosity and our, you know, life experiences take us in very various directions. As you know, obviously those directions didn't end up so good. But I am, just to try to be, you said the word childlike, to try to be childlike. When you say I love you to somebody for the first time, it's the more childlike it is, the more pure, the more real, the more it resonates. My wife and I were discussing recently how, you know, when I first met her, I was the first one to say I love you, because I could never hide, I could never play a game, I could never do I better hold back and pretend I'm not that interested and, you know, make her think I'm not that available. I could never do all that stuff, you know, all that game stuff. The minute I felt I wanted to say I loved her, I said I love you. And, you know, you risk, because, you know, sometimes people aren't ready for that. People aren't ready for truth, you know.
That's right.
You know, I not to switch things, I'm not endorsing or advocating or any of that, but I think when you have this fascination with Donald Trump and this process that's going on now, what people are really responding to is just a sort of to a fault sometimes, you know, just a lack of, it's just a sort of a regurgitation of some sort of truth, you know. Whether he can do stuff he says or where arrogance or any of that, but there's a response to somebody just saying completely nothing that is canned or planned or, you know, like so many politicians do. And I think, you know, again, he's saying something's pure. Now, whether that can lead a country or not is a different issue, and that's up for, you know, individuals to decide for themselves. But I think that's, why is there such a response to that? Because it's just saying things that we all feel, I suppose. And to some level, like he says stuff about women that's just horrible. But it just is, it's the being honest, or being honest to what he wants to say. I'm digging a hole here. I feel like I'm going too far. I don't mean I'm supporting this man. I'm just saying that people respond to sort of an unfiltered truth, good or bad.
Corbin, thank you so much for joining us on today's show, and we appreciate you speaking with us. And thank you so much for all of your great parts that you continue to play on television and the entertainment that you bring to us. We thank you so much. That was Corbin Burnson, and we appreciate him being on today's show. This program is brought to you by Blinkist. Blinkist.com is one of the most useful apps on my phone, and we've talked about this on so many shows. It's such a unique app. It provides you over 3,000 nonfiction books that you can download, and they condense it into just 15 minutes per book. It's really kind of the need-to-know information. And some of the books that we're reading recently include Becoming by Michelle Obama, Accidental Presidents by Jared Cohen, and so many others. It's just great. We appreciate Blinkist. And right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our listening audience. You can go to Blinkist.com/success and get a free 7-day trial and then 25% off a new subscription. So go to Blinkist.com/success to start your 7-day trial and get 25% off the subscription. Hey, thanks again for joining us on our Success Made to Last series. We appreciate you joining us, especially for these great entertainers that we are so blessed to have on. If you like this show, let us know with a comment and rating on our website, successmadetolast.com. And you can go to our contact page and tell us about your positive experience. And if you want to get your week off to a fun start, great start, subscribe to our newsletter. And you can do that right on the homepage. It'll give you a little bit of wit and wisdom every Sunday night. Hey, as we always say here, may you live the best version of you. Have a great week.